This month, we are in a series called Disciple, Be One, and Make One. Right? We're getting ready to launch in May our discipleship follow. And again, if you have not yet signed up to be in a group, please do so. Go to our website. You can register there. You want to be a part of this. There's going to be groups of two and three and four and growing together, learning together, becoming like Christ, being able to follow him as a follower of Christ. We need each other to do this. And let me just say this. Some of you are here and you're like, you know what? I've already been there and done that. I want to challenge you that we can never grow enough. Yeah. On this side of heaven, we still have a lot to grow and a lot to learn. And so even if you've been there and done that, and you've done all the discipleship groups and classes, and you've read all the books, and you are literally the theologian on the story, still, sign up, get involved, because guess what? You being in a group could help some other people, right? Yeah. So let's get ourselves involved. So we're talking about discipleship, and we have to start with the first part, be one. Before we can make disciples, we got to be a disciple of Christ. Amen? And so today, what we're going to be talking about is the important part of that being a disciple is our heart. Amen. Even more so, we're going to talk about the soil of our heart. And my question to you this morning is, how's your soil? What kind of soil is your heart? You guys, I know many of you know the story of our tree over here. This tree, which it needs, we got to get it to get standing up straight, but it's been growing and blossoming. This tree is over 20-some years old. It was given to Rockside the day this church was planted. And I guess the story goes that there have been many times where that poor thing has almost died and like they had to be like life-flighted back to life. And before Christmas, my husband and I took it home and we were like, you know, we need to doctor this thing up. And When I say we, I mean Chuck. So we brought it home, and it was in our basement. And Chuck, we got the great soil, new soil, fresh soil that would fit for this. We got it in a bigger pot, and he began to prune it and take care of it and doctor it. And he was nurturing it and spraying it and giving it the water that it needed over time, right? And then we brought it back here. And we have watched now as it's had its new fresh soil, it's had a restart at life. The thing is continuing to grow, which really is miraculous. Here's why. Those trees are only supposed to last 10 years. I mean, the thing should have been gone 10 years ago. And so with that, it matters the kind of soil that your heart is. You can't grow. You can't be a full disciple of Christ if you don't have a nutrient-filled heart. Amen? Amen. So that's where we're going today. We're going to be talking about the parable of the sower. I bet you didn't know that, but just for anybody that didn't know that yet. And this parable is recorded in three of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all share this story, and it's pretty amazing. The human heart is literally like that receptive soil for the seed of the gospel. And Jesus used this analogy all throughout this parable. Parables are fascinating. And really, Jesus was the master storyteller. Parables were primarily not for reading. They were for hearing and listening to, because it was a story. And so he told the story so that you could imagine what was taking place, so that you could hear it. They weren't for studying, but they were for heeding. That means following what it was. Jesus uses these parables to expose the hearts of the hearers. And I'm going to tell you today, as we go through the parable, that's what it's all about. It's to expose our hearts. And where is our soil today? Not out of condemnation, but out of love. Because guess what? We can change our soil by God's grace and by his help. Amen?
Amen.
So that's where we're going this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. God, we do look to the sky. We look to the one who created it all. And we do stand in wonder. God, I pray right now as we open the word and as we look at scripture, God, I pray you would speak to us. God, I pray you would challenge us today, transform our hearts and our minds. God, we don't want to just come to church and check it off our list. God, we want to come and encounter you. And we want to leave different. We want to leave with more of you, more of a heart that looks like Jesus. And so, Father, we ask for transformation right now over the next few moments. God, use your word that's living and active. to change us, to challenge us. God, we thank you for this church. We thank you for Rockside. We thank you even this morning just for worship and your presence. God, thanks for speaking to us. God, thanks for the words that you give people to encourage us. Thank you for our spiritual gifts that you continue to help us grow and develop as individuals in a church. God, we are grateful children. We really are. We've come out of Easter realizing all that you've done. God, help us to continue to live a life worthy of the calling, of being your children. We thank you, Jesus, Father, in your precious name. Amen. So I know many of you know America's Got Talent. You guys have watched some of those American Idol kind of shows, right? They've become like a sensation. I mean, they're all over. There's multiple of them. And tens of thousands of ordinary Americans, they send in their auditions, right, with the dream of being the next superstar, right? Now, how many of you have watched those before and you're just like, okay, that person really needed a friend to tell them some truth? Anybody ever watched it and you just were like, you weren't making fun of them, but you were just like, boy, they could have used somebody in their life that just said, listen, maybe there's another something else you have to do in life, you know, right? You know, those cringe moments where you're just like, is that for real? Or did they really do that on purpose? So that happens because that person obviously didn't have anybody walking with them in their life that spoke truth. But it also, there was no self-awareness at all, right? And I think some of us in our world, right, we're not aware of ourselves. We're not aware of how we come off and what we're doing. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit for that sensitivity. So you ask yourself, so what does that have to do with anything to do with discipleship? Well, it does because you need to be aware of yourself. You need to be aware of your heart and the condition that it's in. You need to be aware of what kind of soil is your heart today, because it matters. It absolutely matters. So open up with me to Matthew 13. We're going to look at a couple different segments of this, and we're looking in only in Matthew's version of it today. And I'm going to read from the New Living. So Matthew 1 through 9 is where we're going to focus right now. All right, and it says this, later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. So just picture that, okay? He left the house, he's by the lake. Verse 2, a large crowd. He could have just probably needed some time, you know, be by myself, kind of be outside, enjoy, right? And it says a large crowd soon gathered around him. He probably couldn't go anywhere without a large crowd. So he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. Now I was looking at that, as that was interesting, because why would that be specific that Jesus would, like, why would it matter to say he got into the boat? Well, some interesting commentary on that is that in speaking to a large crowd, they didn't have microphones. You know, Jesus didn't put on his headset. He wasn't like testing 1, 2, 3, right? So in speaking to large crowds, what he did is he got out on the boat and the water began to become an amplifier so that he could speak to the crowds. So I thought that was an interesting like concept of like, huh, you know, they didn't have microphones, but they used what they had to be able to amplify. So he got in the boat to be able to make that louder for the people. I don't know, just pretty cool. So it says a large crowd soon gathered around him. So he got in a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. Now imagine that. People standing, listening, wanting to hear what Jesus is going to say. Can you imagine if we stood all throughout our service, our sermons? Because we were just so hungry to hear. Like, that's the visual. People were so desperate and wanting to hear what God, what Jesus was saying. They're like standing there like, teach me, train me, right? Such a beautiful visual. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one, all right? So he begins to share this story. And again, a parable is truth told in like a story form, all right? So it says, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. These seeds sprouted quickly, but because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun. And since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still, other seeds fell on the fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Beautiful visual, right? Context is always important. And so the idea behind the word parable is to throw alongside. So it's a story thrown alongside a truth to help us get it, to help us understand. Jesus was kind like that. He helped us to be able to understand it, to speak simply, right? Which I appreciate. Anybody else appreciate the simplicity? This is one of multiple stories that were shared in this chapter known as kingdom parables. Jesus is giving his audience a glimpse into how the kingdom functions. And he spoke according to agricultural customs because they could understand that. They were farmers. They were planters. They understood what was going on. So him using those visuals really sunk in. They got it. They understood it. In this parable specifically, God is the farmer, and the four soils represent the different responses people have when they hear and experience the gospel. Amen? So those four types of soil. You and I, here today, your heart is one of these. And the challenge is, as we go through this and talk about it, is for you to reflect and say, Lord, which one am I? And again, not out of conviction, out of condemnation, but out of, man, if your heart is some of these other ones, God can help so that your heart can become fertile, so that you can have a multiplying heart, amen? Becoming a disciple who makes other disciples, but it's got to start in our heart, because if our heart isn't okay, we certainly shouldn't be making disciples, because we don't want to reproduce, right, something that wouldn't be honoring to the Lord, amen? Wouldn't it be helpful if while you were reading the Bible, Jesus would sit in the chair next to you and explain it to you? Wouldn't that be helpful? Well, you realize we have the Holy Spirit, right? And he, Scripture says he's the teacher. And so when you open up your Scripture and you begin to study, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you, and he will. Our Scripture is like tangible Jesus. This is the Word, right? Talks about the Word became flesh. Well, this is the written Word, all right, and given to us. All right, so let's continue in the story. Matthew 13, we're going to go to verse 18. As Jesus begins to explain more of what this parable is, it says, now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much has been planted. The goal is for us to have a fertile heart, a fruitful heart, right? But many of us find ourselves today in one of these other three categories. Let's talk about it a little bit more. The first one, along the path, can equal, you know, just not interested. Hard heart, hard soil. Some hear the amazing news of Jesus' death, and they just don't get it, and they just don't understand. We learn here in this case that the devil doesn't sit passively by hoping that this person doesn't figure it out. No, he aggressively snatches the seed so that it's out of sight and out of mind quickly. Can you think of anyone in your life that fits that description? Might that maybe even been part of your story in the past? It's possible. Maybe you find yourself in that first place. Maybe it's number two, along the rocks, where it was too shallow. Here the person appears to have received the good news. They often respond by praying a simple prayer and maybe even get their name embroidered on a Bible, check out some churches. But unfortunately, their newfound joy doesn't last when God doesn't fix all their problems. When the storms come, and they always do, this person turns their blame on God and slides back into their old life. My guess is we've all seen this scenario play out many times with people. We've celebrated the new salvation of a friend, but then painfully watch them return to their old life like their encounter with Jesus never happened. Enemy comes and snatches it. He aggressively waits, right, for the right time. The third situation is among the thorns. This one is just the person is too busy. Their life is too crowded. Some people turn to Jesus, and it's not that they ever fully turn away. They just get distracted by the stresses of life, that they settle for only a fraction of the blessings God wanted to bring into their life. I think many of us find ourselves in this space where your soil is among the thorns. It's just you're crowded, you're busy. There's a lot of distractions, a lot of life that takes you away from being who God needs you to be. Jesus intended for them to have an orchard, but they settled for having a shrub. Maybe that's your story today. The reason here is much more subtle than the rocks because they simply just got too busy. This can come in a lot of forms, from a drive to make more money or falling for a rigorous schedule of kids and family and sports. This person or family or people, they haven't turned fully against God, but their life doesn't fully allow for them to embrace fully. All right? Just too busy, too crowded with other things. And then we get to the fourth soil, right? Which really is the goal, really where we all want to be. If we're going to be a disciple, and if we're going to make disciples, our hearts have to be fruitful soil so that things can grow, so that we can then pass that on. Amen? We got to be ready and willing. Jesus shares that some people respond to the gospel in such a way that it overflows from their lives onto everybody else. We know pictures of that, right? People that come to faith in Jesus and they just love him and they're running around so much zeal and life, they can't tell enough people about how good God is, right? Their heart, their soil is fruitful, ready to be used, willing, whatever God needs me to do, right? You remember those days? This is dramatically different from the thorns and the rocks. Jesus wants us to be here. There's a really good chance that you are here today. There's many of you in here. Your heart and your soil is fruitful. And you know how there's evidence of that? Because there's multiplication coming out of your life. There are people that are connecting with Jesus more and loving Jesus more and knowing him more because of your life. That's how you know if you have a fruitful heart. That's how we know today. There's a couple thoughts that I want us to just focus on this. And it says, you want to be the good fruit soil, the good fruitful soil. I think some of us need to take a moment and just reflect and ask ourselves, Lord, what does my heart look like today? What does the soil of my heart look like? Listen to the words of Jesus as he describes the person on the rocks. The seed that falls on the rocks, it's shallow, it's scorched, it's withered. There's no root, and they quickly fall away. We don't set out at the beginning of our relationship with Christ hoping to be drifters who cry out to him when life is hard, but ignore him the rest of the time. We don't start out that way, right? But a lot of times that's what happens. The thorns are a bit trickier when the seed that fell on the thorns, right? We sometimes fool ourselves into treating business as a busyness as a badge of honor. to be proud of. If I'm busy, then I must be successful, and if I'm successful, I must be important and making a difference. Look at the words Jesus used to describe the thorns: choked, worried, deceitful, unfruitful. I don't know about you, I don't want those to be my descriptors. Jesus sets up that only option four, that fourth place, the good soil, as the positive one. It's only one. He actually calls it good soil. For those of you that are leaders in the room and pastors and, you know, our job, even as just people of God, is to share the gospel, right? We are to scatter the seed of the gospel. And this parable tells us that no matter what we're scattering, no matter what we're throwing out, only a quarter of it takes. As I settled into that concept, that was heartbreaking as a pastor, but then also encouraging in the same regards. Because we do a lot of things that are we're scattering the seed, and we don't always see the fruit of it. And the Bible tells us why, right? Because the enemy comes in and snatches it. But 25% of it sets place, sets a hold. That's encouraging to us, because we just need to keep scattering the seed and trusting the Lord, right, for the harvest. But for us today, those of us that know Jesus or have known him, we're responsible for the soil of our heart. It does matter. And if we're going to make disciples, we've got to be one. And if we're going to be one, we have to make sure that our heart is in a place that can grow and be fruitful and multiply. We're looking for multiplication, all right? If you're here today and you love Jesus, the goal is for you to have somebody sitting next to you because you've brought them to know Jesus and you're walking with them in discipleship, right? We want to bring more people to heaven, not just us or ourselves. Amen? So we want to be good, fruitful soil. The only description Jesus uses for good soil is this: multiplication. So if you want to know if your heart is in a good place today, that your soil is where it needs to be, is multiplication. Where in your life is it multiplying out? All right? And if it's not the case for you today, it's okay. The Lord can give you help today, give you grace to begin to help nurture and water and help getting that soil soft and pliable. Amen? There's hope. There's hope. You might have dry soil. You might have rocks and weeds and things. God can help change that. Amen? Amen. It doesn't have to stay that way. Thank you, Jesus. You know, just because you read your Bible and come to church and serve and give generously doesn't mean that you have a good heart. Yeah. Yeah. Right? Those are some evidences, but it's not 100%. Yeah. We've got to take ownership of that. Another thing is this: most Christians relate with being too busy more than being spiritually fruitful. I'm going to say that again. Most Christians relate with being too busy more than being spiritually fruitful. Here's how we know this. Have you ever asked anybody, "Hey, how's it going?" Usually, the first thing that they say is, "Well, it's going. I'm busy. Got a lot going on," right? We don't say, "Well, you know what? There was a miracle last week. God's been using me to..." We don't. That's not usually where the conversation goes. It goes with our crowded life that is full and worn out, right? Sharing that we are busy is consciously or subconsciously trying to convey that we're important. This might not be your issue, but let's just make sure. There is a questionnaire that Ramsey Solution came up with, 8 ways to know if you're too busy. All right, so I'm going to read through them, and you can kind of, in your own heart, kind of check off where you're at, okay? So do you connect in with any of these? And this is going to tell you if you're too busy. All right, here we go. And again, this is just between you and the Lord, so nobody's going to ask you to raise your hands or anything. So do you connect with any of these? Number one, you're always trying to multitask. Number two, you're exhausted and overwhelmed. Number three, you have to schedule things weeks in advance. Number four, you have a hard time focusing and enjoying the moment. Number five, You never take time off. Number six, you feel guilty a lot of the time. Number seven, you feel out of balance. Number eight, you're filling your calendar with things you don't even want to do. That's kind of a big... And number nine, bonus. I don't need these previous eight. I already know I'm too busy. So as I went through those, if you find yourself with multiple of those, you're like, yep, yep, yep. That's an indicator that your life is crowded and too busy. And it's a call back to Jesus, back to the things that are a priority, right? Yeah. Which is his mission and his call, which is making sure that our heart has good soil so that we can be disciples, which again is what he's called us to do. Go and make disciples of all nations, right? Baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what we're supposed to be really good at. Not building big buildings and gathering thousands and celebrating and having a party. Those things are all great. We're called to go and make disciples. But before we can do that, we have to be that. We got to make sure our heart is ready and prepared. Now, I want to give you another list, another quiz, all right? So this one's going to be on the screen. Here are some basic realities, all right? So these are just basics, of someone who is living a fruitful soil. Their heart is fruitful. All right, so these are some evidences, and you might find yourself in some of these today. Number one, you spend daily time praying for the salvation and spiritual growth of friends and family. If that's you, you got a fruitful heart. That's awesome. Number two, you regularly engage in spiritual conversations with people that don't know God. That's an indicator of a fruitful heart. Amen. Number three, you view your neighborhood, workplace, and friendship groups as a mission field. Number four, you have led people in your life into a relationship with Jesus. Have you helped somebody find Jesus? Have you prayed with them to know him? Number six, I apologize that they're not on the screen. Number six, you are discipling at least one person in their new faith. Number seven, you've been a part of baptizing someone you led to a relationship with Christ in the last year. And number eight, you've seen people discipled go on to disciple others that you've discipled. These are just some indicators of a fruitful heart and a fruitful soil. And I don't mention those to make us feel bad. I mention those because it's a call to a greater place. It's a call for us to do a heart check today, to ask the Lord, what does my soil look like? What kind of soil am I today? Where has the seed of the gospel fallen? And what's happening with that? And each of us are responsible for that. Amen. Colossians 1:10, if you want to turn with me to that. That's not going to be on your screen because I added it late. Colossians 1:10. Says this. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. And your lives will produce every good fruit. That is the goal, amen? To produce fruit out of our lives. But our hearts are a big deal and a big part of that. Turn with me to John 15, verse 16. And again, this one's not on our notes. John 15, 16. And it says this, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. We are to go and produce fruit that lasts. Amen? Amen. But we have a responsibility to check our hearts So that's what God's calling us to do. And so whoever's coming up, if you'll come as we get ready to respond to the Lord today. You know, Jesus explained that the soils are the hearts of the hearer. The difference in soils is based on their willingness to accept and follow what the Word of God says. Jesus puts this responsibility on the hearer. And so today, you've heard, and the responsibility is on you. Is your heart hard? Is your heart shallow? Is your heart crowded? Or is your heart ready and willing and fruitful? And again, God's love compels us to His grace and to His mercy. And so there's not condemnation if you find yourself in the place of I have a hard heart or I have a shallow heart or it's just crowded out of the things of life. This is your opportunity to just come to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you and say, you know what, give me a heart of flesh. I need a new heart today. I need a soil transplant. Amen.